Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida. And once again, I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now. And that's because my good friends over at 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. Then we have our friends over at WAEC, Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving the greater New Jersey and Philadelphia area. And what a joy it is just to come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. Well, if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we're looking at a particular portrait of God, which I see throughout all of the scriptures. Scriptures come together to give us these vivid portraits of the Lord God so we can get to know Him and His ways and His heart better. We've been looking at how He is our baseline peace. And we're wrapping it up today. This has been a four-part series on this particular portrait. And I tell you, I feel like I'm saying goodbye to an old friend every time I wind up a series. We've looked at these first 12 takeaways. We'll look at the final four today about how the Lord is indeed our baseline peace. And we'll be going to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, if you want to make your way there. And while you're doing so, just a quick reminder that these messages and all of my radio broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. Just click on the gray box there that says Broadcasts. Then the next landing page, just click on Portraits of God, and boom, you're there. Two clicks, and you see all the messages listed there for you to get caught up or to listen to again. So that's markpg.org. And by the way, you'll also find 3-minute videos there. If you click on the gray video box, you'll find articles I've written. If you click on the gray articles box, you'll see some outlines on all kinds of character quality topics and also hot topics in Christendom. If you click on printed guidelines there, printed guides. So there's a lot of things on the website, all designed to do one thing: help you hear God. So that's markpg.org. So as we get started, as we wrap up this particular message series on how the Lord is indeed our baseline peace, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, thank You once again that we get to come together to sit at Your feet. I love sitting at Your feet, Lord. There's no better place to be. In Your presence, listening for Your whispers, listening for Your heart, taking us deeper and deeper into Your love letters, Lord. And I tell you, Lord, learning about how You are our baseline peace, that no matter what's going on around us or in this world, we can have a baseline of peace because of You. Well, that's extraordinary. So as we wind this up today, Lord, may You continue to embed this reality in our hearts and give us those practical ways to access You as our baseline peace. Oh, Lord, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you've made your way over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to be picking it up in verse 11, as we're looking at number 13 in our list of 16 takeaways from how the Lord is our baseline peace. Now, rather than reviewing all previous 12, let me just start with the first one. The first one that's really the overarching way into access Him is to realize this: how the Lord our baseline peace shows us that number one, peace is most deeply Christ Himself. It's Christ Himself. Ephesians 2 puts it this way: but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. It's not the scripture alone. It's not theology. It's not orthodoxy. It's not orderliness. It's not obedience. Those are parts of the big thing, but the scripture points to the Lord himself, and it is our oneness in him, our abiding in him, where peace rests most deeply. And then all the other things we've been looking at, and now we come to number 13, where peace flows from rejoicing and like-mindedness. Peace flows from rejoicing and like-mindedness. 2 Corinthians 13:11 puts it this way, "Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Isn't that great? I just love that. "Finally, brethren, rejoice and be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." So let's break that down a little bit. Let's go a little bit deeper in what it's saying. So when we are listing this particular takeaway this way, peace flows from rejoicing and like-mindedness, what are we rejoicing in? Well, the text says we're rejoicing in how God is molding you. Do rejoice in how you're being made complete in the Lord. He's molding you, my friend. You are on the potter's wheel, and he is the potter, and he is molding you and shaping you. You are a project, in one sense, of the living God. He is working on you in so many ways and using all kinds of things in this world to mold you into the person he wants you to be. How does it feel to get that much personal attention? It's the real deal. He's not just a million miles away and just kind of scowling and watching for you to mess up so he can scold you or something. No, he's molding and shaping you. He is right there with you all the time. Man, that's something we can rejoice in. The scripture also says that we're to be comforted because we can rejoice in how God comforts us. He's the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 really elaborates on that, and the comfort that he gives us, we can comfort others with that as well, as he uses us as his instruments of bringing peace and comfort to others. You know, I tell you the truth, the times when I find myself in my most brooding times, with those blue clouds, that type of thing, inevitably it's because I've been focusing more and more on myself rather than others. Maybe been musing over some difficulties or my plight or how people maybe have said something against me, and you know, you just get so caught up in your own pity parties, you know, and the Lord says, you know what? To the degree you receive my comfort in the midst of this, because I'm deeper than all that, and you go comfort others, the blue clouds will drift away. It's an amazing thing. Peace will flow. Peace flows from rejoicing and like-mindedness, rejoicing that God is molding you, rejoicing that God comforts you, rejoicing that this like-mindedness he wants us to have is because he shares his mind with us. The mind of Christ, the scripture says, we have the mind of Christ. He's willing to whisper those things, and in our oneness with him, we can think like he thinks, see like he sees. And from that perspective, peace will flow. And I love how he's always pointing us to peace. He says, live in peace. Make that a focal point, something that you wage. You know, you've heard of waging war. Well, we have to wage peace. By the way, peace is not just like the default place because, oh, we have no struggles, we have no tribulations, we have nobody attacking us, therefore there's peace. That's a default definition of peace. Peace is something more proactive. That's what he says, to live in peace. Wage peace. Do all things that you can to live in peace with others by doing the godly things he calls us to do. And you know what? When we start doing that, the God of peace, our baseline peace, will be with you and will be in you far more deeply than you can imagine. You know, many years ago, I was this is many years ago now, doing my first church plant, and had a partner that we were doing that with, and he asked me to come on board with him. God was doing a special thing, and I won't go into all the details, but the fact of the matter is, as we were coming together, he said, look, I'm more of a kind of an initiator, you know, more of an entrepreneur to get things started, but I'm not a long-term pastor at all. So, but you have said you've wanted to do a church plant and pastor it and grow it up. Why don't you, let's partner together, and I'll hand it over to you in a year, maybe two, and then you take it from there. And I said, you know what? Seriously? And I trusted him, and we did that. And off we went. And God began to bless, and it grew to about 100 within that first year or so. But you know what happened was one day he came to me and said, you know what? I feel like God wants me to stay the pastor of this church. I said, what? We had an agreement. We had a covenant that you would be handing it over in time because you knew your gift set was that to be more of an entrepreneur, more of a church planter, and then moving on. You're changing. You're reneging. And I felt very betrayed. And so I began struggling with resentment and anger and frustration, all the things you can imagine when you're feeling betrayed. And so as I was going into the Lord with this, and I can't believe this, Lord, and you know, are you just standing by there and letting it and do it and all this stuff? You know how we tend to whine and complain and blame God and everybody else and all. But here's where the Lord took me to. He said, son, I want you to learn how to wage peace. I want you to learn how to be content in whatever state you're in. And trust me, trust me. If I work in all things, even when people make decisions that aren't right or wrong or not of him, God can make beauty out of ashes. Yes, we get impacted by the bad decisions or the unfair decisions or the sinful decisions that other people make. They're going to make them. And I felt like he was doing that. In his mind, God gave him a fresh vision, and he stood by it. Well, who's to really know at the end of the day? But here's the point. Spiritual warfare is not about arguing over who has heard God better or more accurately. It's not, spiritual warfare is not so much about the circumstances, it's how do you respond to the circumstances, to the tribulations, to the disappointments, to the betrayals that come up. And God says, you forgive, you use grace, you learn to be content in whatever state you're in. And the Lord began to put it on my heart as my wife and I were praying about it. He would move me, but he would not move me until I learned how to be content where I was and still be supportive of the leadership there as far as the people are concerned. And behind the scenes, we deal with it at a personal level, but we're not going to parade it, and we're not going to, you know, gossip and spread rumors or undermine that is not of him. To succumb to that would be losing the spiritual warfare, playing into the enemy's hand. Instead, you speak highly of one another. You work through it. You talk through it as best you can. You let God work in his timing. And you know what? When I began to get a peace in the midst of that personal storm that we were in this betrayal, and began to breathe and be content and trust God, that's when he opened the door to move us to a new ministry. My friends, doing things God's way is so important. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. But getting the mind of Christ, waging peace, rejoicing that he's molding us with whatever comes up in our lives. When we focus on that, peace flows from rejoicing and like-mindedness, as it says here in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Well, now let's go over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, one of the classic portions of Scripture about peace, where we're going to discover takeaway number 14 in our list of 16, how peace flows from prayer with thanksgiving. Oh, listen to this. Peace flows from prayer with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and there's your key phrase, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There it is, peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard your hearts and mind when you pray with thanksgiving. So let's unpack this a moment. First of all, it's not saying to be thankful for everything. Instead, it's saying to be thankful in everything. You can be praying prayers of thanksgiving in the midst of the things you're dealing with, but not so much for. He doesn't, you know, if you break your arm, oh Lord, thank you for this broken arm. Well, we're not going to thank him for the broken arm. However the broken arm happened or whatever thing has happened has come up, you don't thank him for tragedy, for heartbreak, for pain, for woundedness, for betrayal, for gossip against it. You don't thank him for it, but in it, say, Lord, I'm going to thank you in this, because though you did not intend this to happen, though this is because of human will, the human choice, free will, and it's impacting me in it, I can be thankful that you can use it and make beauty out of ashes and mold me and shape me and take me deeper into you. I can be thankful in everything. My friends, when you learn how to be praying with thanksgiving, with all that's arising in your life, you know what's going to happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will flow and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I absolutely love this. Now, what's the alternative? If you don't learn how to be thankful and express your gratefulness and thanksgiving to God in the midst of all things and watch him do his powerful work, if you do it his way, he will lead you to forgive in his supernatural grace and power. If you do not, and you choose the other path on the crossroads and said, no, I will never forgive them, it's not right, I'm waiting for justice, then you will become bitter. Though the choice is yours, forgive or become bitter. Forgive or become bitter. Bitterness will imprison you, my friend. I love that classic quote, to forgive is to set the captives free and discover you were the captive. So, be anxious for nothing. Whatever circumstances come up, whatever happens to you, whatever sin against you, don't be anxious about it. But in everything, including those things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Lord, thank you that in this you can still make beauty out of ashes. You can bring peace in the midst of the storm. When you pray that way, when you pray with thanksgiving and gratefulness in everything, the peace of God will flow. The peace that surpasses all understanding will be yours. Came across a recent quote, and let me see, I want to make sure I get it right for you. So it's this, it's about soil, and it's when you have all of these heartaches and trespasses and done against you, and yet you learn to pray with thanksgiving, with gratefulness. Gratefulness is the soil of joy in the Lord. Isn't that good? When you can be grateful and thankful for whatever's coming up, the muds, the pits, whatever, in everything, I would not have chosen it. I wish it hadn't happened, but in it, I can still be thankful that God can use it and will use it if I just pay attention. My friend, you will see the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It will flow from prayer with thanksgiving. Wow. Okay, we're winding it down. Two more to go. Number 15. The Lord, our baseline peace, shows us this, that peace comes from loving God's ways. Peace comes from loving God's ways. Let me take you to Psalm 119 and verse 165. Yeah, you heard that right. That's the longest chapter of the Bible. It's verse 165. It says, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Now, let me just explain this, because Psalm 119 had a lot of different words in the original Hebrew that's translated into precepts or your law or and your ways and all that other stuff. So I want to suggest to you and explain to you that when we see the word the law or the commandments, sometimes we can think like it's the tax code. This is it. This is the law. You better obey or else. Okay, now that's not what the Lord has in mind here. The Bible was never intended to be like the tax code where you had to follow it in a persnickety and pedantic way to make sure that God doesn't spank you or discipline you for not obeying him in the right way. That's the Pharisees. That's the law with a big L. This is law with a little L that means God's ways. So let's look at it again. Those who love your ways have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Let me ask you a question. Have you come to the place where you're getting to know the Lord so well personally, with these portraits, for example, getting to know his heart, his character qualities, that you are very comfortable knowing that his ways, though you may not always understand them, you can trust them because you know that his intention is always good. It's always perfect. It's always at the right time. His Bible, his scriptures to us are like love letters to us, not the tax code. And throughout the scriptures, we see clear evidences of his way. His way is to forgive. Like the thief on the cross, you know, or like Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do regarding all the sins done against him. Or like Joseph saying to his brothers, what you intended for evil, God has used. Or he says intended for good. God's intentions are to always take the sins done against us and yet make beauty out of ashes, turn it around and use it. He didn't want it to be that way. He didn't want the other person to sin against us. He certainly didn't make them do it. That's the enemy's province. But these things will happen. Jesus said you will have tribulation, but in them all you can have peace and you can see the power of God. That is his way. Peace comes from loving God's ways. And finally, we come to number 6 that's related to this because peace flows. This is number 16 if you're taking notes. Peace flows from practicing the ways of God. It's one thing to know God's ways and understand them, but then to practice them. Philippians 4, verse 9 puts it this way. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So there you have it. Peace flows from practicing the ways of God. How do we practice the ways of God? Now, I want to be very careful here. Now, in number 15, we just talked about how the law with a big L, where it's seen as these are the do's and don'ts and you better measure up. See, practicing means you better obey and obey hard. No, that's not practicing in the biblical sense. To practice the ways of God is to abide in him to bear much fruit. John 15 puts it so clearly. To abide in me, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. It means to hang in there with him. It means to hang with him, to hang out with God, to soak yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, he will start saturating your soul more and more, and godliness will be poured into you because you are breathing in the fragrance of God. You're taking in the love of the Lord. You're receiving the grace and the peace and the mercy of God. And when you get a sponge and you sop it in fresh, clear water, when you squeeze it, that fresh clear water will come out. But if you take your sponge of your heart and life and you soak it in kerosene and you squeeze that, that's going to come out. Or if you soak it in sewer water and then you squeeze, that's what's going to come out. Soak in the Lord, abide in him, and you will bear much fruit, and you will reflexively do the things he calls us to do, like in 1 Peter 4, to pray and to love and to serve and to speak. Fruit and godliness and practicing the ways of God are byproducts of abiding or soaking in the Lord himself. Remember how we said in number 1? peace is most deeply Christ himself, because the scripture says in Ephesians 2 that he himself is our peace. When you soak in him through the scriptures, through prayer, through all those things, you soak him up. And when life squeezes you, he comes out, and it's peace, and it's love, and it's grace, and it's mercy, and it's a game changer. It is the eternal and infinite ways of God being embedded in you because you're abiding or soaking in him, and you no longer will be pedantic, you know, you got to do, you know, and persnickety, all these little details, and you got to do this just right. That's Pharisee stuff. That's the law. The law kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit of the Lord gives life. Soak, abide in him. That is how you practice the ways of God. And when you do, peace flows from practicing these ways of God. Oh, I love that. My friend, we've been taking a nice long journey over the last 4 weeks of discovering the Lord as our baseline peace. He wants you to soak so regularly in him, in prayer, and in his love letters, that he will just fill your very pores to the place where you'll just pour over. When you get barely squeezed, he's going to come out because you're soaking in him. He is our baseline peace, no matter what's going on around you in this world, no matter what's been done to you, no matter what difficult circumstances you're in, he is your baseline peace. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this journey in discovering this particular portrait of you over the last few weeks. Thank you for being our baseline peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Be sure to check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, oh, fall in love with Jesus, your baseline peace.